You're listening to the Vacation Rental Managers Podcast with Sarah and T.
Sarah stands for me, Sarah Bradford, a 15-year vacation rental company owner in Colorado who sold the company for big bucks last year.
And T stands for me, Tim Cafferty, who's still moving and shaking with two companies, Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue, in North Carolina and Virginia, respectively.
Between us, we have managed over 700 properties, making lasting memories for over 100,000 guests and produced over 150 podcast episodes and counting, sharing all of our secrets to growing a profitable, long-lasting vacation rental company.
We like to call those secrets pullover moments, and it wouldn't be possible without support from our pullover partners, ICND, Key Data, and Sojo.
We're back and better than ever. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Tim. Welcome to February. Good Lord, it seemed like it was just August of 23 about a week ago, and now we're getting ready for the summer of 24. Wow, can't believe it. You doing okay today? You're in Phoenix today, I think, right?
Yes, because I'm tired of winter 24 and I'm ready for summer of 24. So bring it on.
Oh boy. Yeah, your 2 week winters out there in Arizona. That's great. But we are revisiting the past today, harking back to last summer and how warm we are. And we're looking to the future and how warm we're going to be. Let's look back to episode 21. Gosh, that was forever ago. The last time we covered this topic, Sarah, that was in the April timeframe, I think, because we were thinking about the Final Four in college basketball, and we did an episode called The Fiscal Four, budgeting for your vacation rental company. And we think it's time to revisit that.
That was a long time ago. Was that 2018? I think it was over 6 years ago. So it seems like we need a refresh on this topic. We've covered it before, but creating a budget for your vacation rental business and sticking to tracking it each month is what I'm learning more and more is a struggle for most. And honestly, Tim, it's easy to see why. You know that we both have to admit in our own companies, sometimes we missed a month where we really dug into the actuals versus the budget.
Like for me last month when I was reading through the script today and realizing, you know what? I never looked at the December numbers.
And if you do that, the anal of all anal budget people, we know most of vacation rental company managers out there are skipping this step all too often. But the big thing is, Tim, like, yes, you missed December, but you're going to do January and you're going to go back now and look at December. But a lot of our listeners, starting a budget is the hard part. They don't even have it established to go look at it when they skip a month. And committing to look at your numbers face to face each month, it's not a walk in the park either, but it's important.
It is, absolutely. I was actually thinking about this just last week. A friend of mine asked me out for a coffee and he was giving me an idea for a business he had and he was asking me for advice. And the first thing I told him was, get a budget. Figure out how you're going to make money. Figure out what your expenses might be. Because I don't know how to do that. I'm like, have you ever used Excel? It's like, it's not that hard, folks. If you have a Microsoft document, you'll see it in there. It's the little green program, and you can create a spreadsheet. And it's amazing. It's pretty straightforward. There's other programs out there as well. The key is the discipline to sit down and think about it.
So we're going to get into that today. Because Tim, if you continue to look away and avoid this activity in your business, you could be going, well, the ultimate is you're going bankrupt. Not just bankrupt, you might owe your owners money you don't even have. You might have sleepless nights. I know that it happens anyway that we have sleepless nights, but this definitely adds to it. And if nothing else, your success will not be understood by you or your staff. You might be super successful and not even realize it. You might be teetering on the edge and not even know it. And the fact is, you just won't make as much money without a budget and net income goals. So the if anything, just do this because you're going to make more money. But other reasons are because you and your staff need to know what direction you're going in, why you expend the money you do, and why your income is what it is.
Another reason I've heard a theme in the last few months is many people thinking about potentially selling their business one day. And the first thing a business broker is going to ask you for are your numbers. Tell me what you did. And if you have no idea or can't present it to them quickly, you're not going to sell for much.
You can be a person right now that uses QuickBooks and is thinking, yeah, I've got that covered. Well, you might not be putting your numbers into the right categories. Who knows if any of it is correct and making sense, or if you're tracking it the same way year over year. And if you don't have a budget, when you look at the actuals, you don't even know what it means. And so, you know, the thing is, Tim, also, I think it's really fun to run a business. I think that when you know your budget and you look at your actuals, even when the news isn't good, for me, it made it all come together. Having goals, knowing our numbers, playing the game, see how we did. What do you think?
I'm not sure everybody agrees about the fun part. Some days are more fun than others, but your points are well taken. So we have three steps. You know, we like to number stuff. Keep it simple as possible for you. Three steps in this budgeting process. One's pretty intense, so bear with us on that. The other two, not so much. They're more fun. So you ready to get to it?
Let's do it. We hope our goal is that by the end of these 30 minutes, you will feel you can create a budget if you don't have one, or start managing to that budget if you have a budget, but you haven't really been managing to it. And that's the goal. If we make anything sound complicated, or you have questions about it, we'd love to hear from you. Just want to throw that in there. Feel free to reach out to us on social media. It's pretty easy to get in touch with us and just say, what did you mean by that? Or what are you talking about, Tim? Okay, let's do it. Number one is how to create your budget. Talk us through it, Tim.
Well, the first thing you need to do is have a starting point. Most of us don't do what I suggested of my friend last week of creating a budget before you start the business. We get into it, and before you know it, you're 18 months in, right? But I'm hopeful that you have somewhere that you've recorded some information from last year, some actual numbers of what you made and what you spent. You may not have the categories down quite yet, as Sarah just indicated, but you can start with last year's number as a jump off point. What do you think?
That's the best thing you could do. And then you massage those numbers to what it's going to look like for 24, especially if you're growing your company. The next thing I love to have people do is do a per property rental prediction. What's powerful about this activity is you look at your actuals for every property. Okay. And along with that, you look at how often owners stayed, because you can pull that from your PMS, I would hope. Look how often, how many bookings you had, average daily rate. Just looking at that report tells you usually that you have about 10% that probably need to go. And then you create another column that says, how much am I going to make in the coming year? So I made a gross amount of $57,000 for Beach Nest property, Beach Nest home, whatever. And how much I going to make next year? Well, look, the owner used it a bunch last year and we talked, they're not going to use it as much. Or maybe it was out of commission for a while, or maybe we got a huge booking for all of July and there's no way we can replicate that. So you decide to go up or down on that 55 grand or 56 grand. Then by filling all that in, I find to be one of the best activities, because you truly think about each one of your properties and really look at them in the face and go, is this one successful or not? And how am I going to make it successful? And then you add up those numbers and you have your top line revenue before other income items.
The key is just getting started. I'm a big proponent of, I don't have everything figured out, but I need to get in there and roll up my sleeves and I'm going to figure it out. And so as you start doing this, you'll become more aware, like the income areas, like you talked about the top line income. But wait a minute, I sell travel insurance. Should that be a line item? Sure should. How about pet fees, credit card fees, return check fees? There's a myriad of additional income items, cleaning fees, linen fees, whatever fees, doing business with you fees. It can all be in there as you go on, but nobody's expecting you to have that from day one. It comes as your acumen gets stronger. When you start looking at these things and you look at your income month by month, and you can actually predict what's going to happen based on booking cycles or new initiatives that you may have started. And then each fee, speaking of income only here, each fee ultimately should have their own line item if it's above a certain threshold. Threshold for me is $600. That's pretty low. Whoa. But I want to know how much I'm making on this, that, and the other. And if I'm making $600, I want to know about it. So you can imagine mine's a little more detailed. I have 8 pages of stuff that we keep track of, but it's important.
You just made me think of 2 things, Tim. One, you said you should do it by month. And that most likely frightened a few listeners who thought, okay, I'm good with a budget for the year, but I don't know how it all plays out each month. Okay. And my shortcut for that is look at your revenue for last year and when did it fall and figure out what percent fell every month. And then take your new number that you've done by doing every property and spread it across the months to your average way that you see bookings come in. So if 60% are in July, put 60% of the revenue there. That probably holds true as well for a lot of your other income items. So most other income items follow bookings, especially fees, right? The cleaning fee, et cetera. You're going to have more cleaning fees realized in July than you are in January. And the other thing you said, Tim, was what you're saying is you don't have to be a perfectionist out of the gate. Tim might have an 8-page budget. You need something that isn't nothing. Okay. If you have something that isn't nothing, you've made progress. Because once you have this thing, even if it's very incorrect, you find in the first year, you now know why it's not correct and you're editing as you go through that first year with your budget. Do you agree with that, Tim?
I do. It leads me to the next thing, and I'm going to ask you, put you on the spot. Did you do your budgets on a cash basis accounting or were you an accrual person? Because that scares some people too.
Yeah, well, we just scared people off just by mentioning that. Okay, and so I'm going to try to explain this in non-accounting terms. We did our budget based on cash, I think, because let me just explain what I mean. If we booked a stay for July in February, that didn't show up in our income until the guest checked out in July and we ran our numbers for July and it threw the revenue onto the P&L. If we charged a cleaning fee, it went on for July, even though we booked it in February. Okay. And all the expenses that we incurred only went on when they incurred. And I want you to tell me if that's cash or accrual. And then I have something to explain. What is it?
I think that's accrual.
Okay. It's accrual. But here's what's weird about doing it on an accrual basis like that, even though I really like it like that, is that your expenses can often look very out of sorts with your income. Because if you have a bunch of guests that are checking out in July, but you had to do a lot of, well, you have a big payroll and you're doing all sorts of work in May and June to get ready, it looks like you're not having any income, but you're having a ton of expenses and this is a poorly run business. Do you follow me?
I do. You can really wind yourself into a pretzel here. So whatever works for you, again, as Sarah said, if you're taking a step, at least you're not standing still. So that's great.
What do you do, Tim?
I have a little different business model in North Carolina. See, I can disperse money as I receive it.
Oh, that's right.
So I have a 12-month budget where I'm taking cash right now, and it's shown on my P&L on a monthly basis. It's a little hard to predict sometimes about how the bookings are going to be in February, but at least we have a history to look back and say, about X percent of our bookings will be taken this month, so we can count on this many commissions, these many fees coming in, and so on.
Okay.
But it's still heavily loaded.
That's always never made sense to me, though, because all those bookings could cancel. So how can you realize that on your P&L?
Vrbo would like me to relax my cancellation policies because my cancellation policy does not let the guest off the hook. If they cancel, they are liable for everything they've paid until I find a replacement guest.
Okay, so,
that makes
you can
it
realize.
Easier in that sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not everybody rushed to North Carolina to open a business, by the way. We're doing just fine with the competition we got, but that's how we do it. And it does make for a 12-month calendar of cash in and out because we never know when those bookings are coming. But when they come, we're taking the money, baby.
Okay, so I have one more question before we move on. In your budget, do you show the top line revenue, meaning the total amount you took in, or do you only show the commission portion that you took as revenue?
That's a great question. And I just show the commission. I just show the numbers that fall to me. I don't show the owner portion of the collections at all on my budget.
Okay. And we did the opposite. Mm-hmm. So you can decide what you want to do there. The reason I liked showing the total is because we did a lot of percentage fees off of that, or we could see, okay, how much are we sending to owners each month? Or what percentage of the total amount taking in are we really making? I just loved that number, but I've heard a lot of people do it like you. So I don't know.
All right. So let's dig into how you can really have an impact with a budget. That's the expense side. I've mentioned on the podcast many times, I run my business as an open book management company. So my company employees see a roll up of income and expenses by department. And I will tell you that profit share is a huge thing, and we're going to get into a little bit later. But the only reason we made our goals in 2023 was because everyone was hyper-focused on the expenses. They didn't go out and buy willy-nilly. They knew there's so much in this line item for gas for the maintenance department. There's so much in this line item for parts and what have you. And so they didn't buy more than they had to buy at any given time. And our expenses were well below our budget last year because everybody was tuned into this. And I talk about the 7-page budget, 6.5 pages of it are expenses.
That's the depressing part of running a vacation rental business. There's a lot of expenses. I'm going to just touch on open book management. We've said it so many times on the podcast in over almost 170 episodes, Tim. Tim and I both feel very strongly about sharing your numbers with your staff. No one could talk me out of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's people that, what? You're going to do what?
Yeah. All I hear from people that don't want to do it is a guilt and a fear that their employees will think they're raking in the dough. That's all I ever hear. And the fact is, guys, I was raking in the dough with my companies before we sold them. And I will personally say that I still shared it with my staff. And I think they would tell you that they, well, maybe they were mad, but they never acted like it. They just thought it was so great to know the numbers and have a goal. And then, of course, do profit sharing off that net income number. So off soapbox, moving on to back to expenses. When you're doing your expenses, think about whether an expense is a variable expense or a fixed expense. I find it such a good activity to go through and find out what is your total fixed expense per month. It's a little bit scary sometimes because you go, oh, wow, I have to book X amount next month or the next month because I have fixed expenses I can't just take off the ledger. So that's like payroll, for example, for marketing, reservations even, guest experience. Maintenance. Yes, you can charge for these people, but if they're employees, they're coming to work whether you're charging for them or not. And then a variable expense, of course, is variable. And that means it only is incurred if you have a booking, is the simple way to look at it. So if you pay your cleaners on piece rate and they're just showing up for working 8 hours a day, then if you don't book that place, you're not going to have to pay to clean it. If you don't put more toilet paper in that place, you're not going to have to pay for toilet paper. So there's variable expenses that once you get really detailed in this, you can have formulas that guess how much your variable expense will be based on your number of bookings and which properties book. But don't overthink that. If you're just starting, just put your variable expenses in and use some historical data to guess what they might be. But make sure that if you're putting toilet paper and supplies and everything into your budget, don't put them evenly across the months if your bookings aren't even. If Tim has an unbelievable amount of toilet paper he's buying in January, that doesn't even make sense because he's not going to have his toilet paper using month until June and July.
Well, that's a fantastic explanation. As we wrap up this section and get ready to take a podcast partner break, I think it is very important for us to go back. Once we've done all this, make sure you look at the bottom line to see that you're making money. And if not, you probably need to make some adjustments, whether it's new income avenues. Maybe you didn't estimate your income as well as you should have. Maybe you overestimated your expenses, but you need to really know how it looks. And that's the net income number. If you want more, You got to cut or add more reps. Be realistic.
And Tim, something that keeps coming to my head is you mentioned, have you used Excel? Have you clicked on that green button, Google Sheets? Not everybody is comfortable in a spreadsheet like you and I are. Somehow we got those skills early in life. I don't know why, but there's definitely people that have gotten this business and are incredible vacation rental managers who just never learned spreadsheet skills. So I want to stop right now and say, if you don't know some basic ways to use spreadsheets, search up YouTube, spend 30 minutes or an hour watching, and I swear you will know everything you need to know. You don't have to know crazy things like VLOOKUPs and pivot tables. You just need to know, how do I add columns and rows? How do I create formulas that have pluses and minuses in them? How do I have like assumptions in a spreadsheet and keep referring to them so that you don't hard code numbers in your spreadsheet and can't go back? There's very basic YouTubes you can watch. I absolutely encourage you to do that. You have a disability if you're trying to do a budget and don't understand how to do a spreadsheet. Okay, end of public service announcement. So one thing in a budget that I see a lot, Tim, is that everybody shoves all their marketing cost into one line. That's the biggest offender, I notice. And it's like, well, what's in the marketing budget? I mean, where are you spending your money here? And is it even paying forward? So let's jump over to IC&D, and Paul Hanick's going to tell us a little more about how to think about your marketing budget.
Appreciate it, guys. Paul Hanick here, Digital Marketing Director for IC&D. I want to talk to you about a monthly marketing budget calendar, something everybody needs. This isn't just a calendar, but it's a detailed monthly spreadsheet that categorizes all your marketing expenses. Year over year, month over month, every channel, it's all there. So we get asked a lot, how do we know our investment is paying off? Well, that's why we have this budget calendar. So you use it to track your return on investment for each of your advertising channels. We're talking about Google pay-per-click, Bing pay-per-click, email marketing, Facebook, Instagram ads, Pinterest ads, SEO expenses, software expenses, just all that stuff. Observing those fluctuations of ROI each month, year over year, it's just going to offer valuable insights into your market trends and your campaign effectiveness, so you'll know where to put money and when. So for the listeners, we've got something special. We've got a free Google Sheet template available for you just for the Sarantee listeners. We use the same thing for our clients, but it's been simplified and includes an example for budget spends for easy application, and you can modify it any way you want. You can get that at icnd.net/budget. That's icnd.net/budget, and it's a real game changer. Don't worry, it's not gated or anything like that, so just go grab it, and hopefully it helps you guys plan a roadmap for success in the future. Appreciate it.
Hey, I was just looking at my advertising and marketing budget. 19 items. I think I did okay, Paul. Thanks for that great pullover moment there. IC&D, a fabulous partner of ours, and we love hearing from Paul. So we covered basically number one of three steps we told you about, and that was how to create your budget. Let's move on to number two. We already touched on this, running actuals versus budget every month. I already gave you my mea culpa. I don't do this as religiously as I should, but I do it. And why is that important, Sarah?
Well, first of all, I used to love to get this report from Melina. So even if you're not talking to your key staff every exact 4 weeks, getting this report in front of you is huge. And back to tools to use. I mean, I think most of us use QuickBooks. Do you use QuickBooks, Tim?
I do. I think there are other programs out there you can use, but that one's pretty good as far as a day-to-day coding things, having to drop in the budget. But again, don't get intimidated. If you don't want to buy QuickBooks, you can use Excel or Google Sheets or whatever. You can still work it. And there are other programs as well.
Yes. But whatever program you use, it should be able to run a budget versus actuals. Yeah. And so you start looking at this, you run the report, and for 1 month, you sit down with your key people, I think you should, and say, okay, why are we over or under? Oh, whoa, we totally underestimated that. Or, oh, that just is in the February and it should have been in January. And you go through and have conversations about everything. And it's not just is the number over or under. It is, and I've said this so many times before, it brings up conversations. You go, wait a minute, have we even talked to our credit card processing company in 4 years? Should we talk to them about now that we're doing so much more money through them, so many more transactions? Should we be asking for a better rate? Or, oh my gosh, are we still paying for X? We don't even use X anymore. And this is where I'm saying this will make you more money. And then on the income side of it, you're going, all right, this was our goal and this is what we hit. Is it over or under? And what if it's under, what does that mean for the rest of the months? Because I don't want to give up on our final net income. So how are we going to have to be overachieving in February if we underachieved in January?
Yeah, so have a discussion. How can we save money? How can we make more? Is there something you're not charging for? Or I was thinking about your thought about the report. What I heard one time was, well, Tim, you remember you went to that conference and you saw that shiny new toy that you wanted and you went ahead and committed to that? Well, that wasn't in this budget, yeah, but it's right here on this line item. That's why we're over, big boy.
Or I used to say to my GM, remember you wanted to pay all those people more money and then you said you needed two more people? Well, we hired them and that's why payroll is blowing up. And so we have to figure out how to make a lot more revenue to get, you know, to make this work. And there's something else I wanted to share about this is not only do you stare at this once a month and just go, okay, well, the month's over and this is how we did. I believe you should have tools through the month that you're tracking to these items. It's really hard to track your expenses week to week. I think you've done that before, Tim, but I mean more to the revenue side. At the end of a month, you shouldn't go, if you are saying to yourself, oh, I can't believe we missed it by that much, you don't have the tools in place to see how you're doing day to day. And if you guys want to see that tool that I used to use, I mean, basically it's, how much do we have to book this month? And then how much does that mean we're booking per day? And how much money have I booked for the future months, right? So not just how much am I booking today, but what months am I booking it for? How do my bookings look past 6 months? And how far off am I? Because otherwise you'll go through 3 months and go, oh, we've totally missed our number. And now we have these fixed expenses and you just can't pull the brakes on the fixed expenses. And that's where I think you get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, the mortgage still comes due every month. Isn't that amazing how that happens? Yeah. You overpaid your people. They still want to be paid at the bank. So that's fantastic. And another thing on this, as we kind of wrap up this, when you get to a point where you have confidence that you understand the budget and you've put this thing together and wow, I did pretty good last year on my estimation, involve other people. Get your department heads involved and have them own their portion of the budget. That's when you really know you got it. Give them a month or whatever, maybe in the fall of the previous year, and let them come up with their own budget. And they submit it to you, you being the vacation rental company owner, mm-hmm, to give them final approval. Make sure they're not sandbagging you, because that's going to happen too, so they can hit budget. But get other people involved, and I think you'll find that the money's going to roll in.
Here's a typical sandbagging example I've noticed with working with people in vacation rental. I've noticed in talking and working with some vacation rental managers out there, it's very tempting to make your income involve just properties you've signed on so far. December 31st, you're working on your budget starting January, and you go, well, we have 100 properties, and that's how many we have, and that's how many we're going to bank on, and we're just going to do the budget based on that. And I say, oh, okay, but you don't want to grow? Yeah, I think we'll take on like 30 more, but I don't know yet, so I don't want to put them in there. No, you can't do that because first of all, you need to staff up for that. So your fixed expenses need to rise up to be ready for the 30. And then if you're going to add those 30, you have to figure out when you're going to add them and when you're going to start realizing revenue. Otherwise, if you add that 30 in the first 6 months of the year, the rest of your last 6 months, your budget looks completely disproportionate and off. Like you just think you're killing it and you're not at all. And that's another mistake I see is that people run their monthly budget versus actuals, and they go, oh, we're doing so well. We hit our numbers, our revenue number. It's so great. But you don't realize that Mr. Smith over there didn't get one booking in January, and he's really mad. So this isn't the end all be all. This is the end all be all for you to see how you're doing at an aggregate per month. But you have to still look at how are you doing per property every single month.
So fantastic. That leads us to number three. We've already set this up, so it shouldn't be a shock to you that we are going to recommend that you share these numbers with your staff and maybe even create a profit sharing plan. Even if it's not a large amount, involve your people. I recently was visiting with I will not call him out, but it's a significant player in the vacation rental industry. And we started talking about my profit share program. He was incredulous and had no idea how or why I shared the numbers with my staff. And I simply said, all I can tell you is the proof is in the pudding. We've made the Inc. 5000 list 8 times. That doesn't come by mistake. My people bought in. Every year, there's a new income line item that somebody has come up with. It's exciting to see the room work that way. So let's talk about profit share. I use the model of the great game of business. A fellow by the name of Jack Stack wrote this book years ago. He and some other employees actually purchased International Harvester. If you remember that company back in the day that made farm equipment and large tractors and things like that, heavy earth moving equipment and so on. And the company was going bankrupt. And as he says, some bank was crazy enough to give us money. And so the employees bought the company and they started this concept of an open book management company. It's a great read if you want to get introduced to the concept. I embrace a lot of the principles, but not all of the principles. And what it basically means is every department has a budget. We've already outlined that. They have an income line item. They have an expense line item. And you can break that out by quarter. And if we hit the number at the end of the first quarter, everybody gets some sort of the profit that we made by hitting that number. And of course, you build the profit share payout into the budget, folks. And the second quarter is maybe a higher number. Third quarter is even a higher number. And the fourth quarter is the highest number of the profit share. And you will be amazed the engagement you get from your staff.
Tim, has anyone ever left you and said, I'm leaving because Tim, you make too much money and I found out about it?
It's more the opposite. When we put those numbers up on the board, especially for the fourth quarter, because it shows year end, they're going, that's it? That's all you make?
Right?
Right. They're like, we had to make $10 million for you to make that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's very eye-opening. But even if it's a great year, it's okay for them to see how much you make. I've said it a million times, so I feel like a broken record, but you're the one that took the risk. You're the one that takes the downfall if the company doesn't do well. Stop being embarrassed about how much you make. You know, I just read a book called Meet You in Hell about Carnegie and Frick and the steel industry. Man, you want to get pumped up about not caring how much you make? Read that book. Carnegie and Frick were like in Scotland hanging out all summer, making millions at the turn of the century, and their people were not making anything. So absolutely do not mimic Carnegie and Frick. But you are paying your people good wages. And if you're not, that's something you need to look at. And they're excited to make some of the profit. Now, I want to be clear because Tim said in The Great Game of Business that Jack Stack, you know, they all bought the company. We're not saying that people need to own your company. Okay. We're simply saying if you net $100,000 in a year, give them a small percentage. Maybe, you know, they get a percent. Maybe they get a 0.5%. We had people getting 0.25%. It still means they get a chunk of cash because the company was successful. And the way we did it, Tim, we only did it once a year. So I think it's great to do it every quarter, but you also can do it once a year. For us, it made people stick around. We said, okay, stay till July or June. And then we knew they'd stay for, you know, we were really trying to make it through the ski season. So there's a lot of different ways you can do it. And I just can't say enough about it. I just feel so strongly about profit sharing, and I want everyone to consider it, even if you're scared.
The key to the program that we have in place that's in the book is a weekly meeting. It's called a huddle, much like a football group getting together and calling the play. We have about a 5 or 10 minute huddle once a week. We put the numbers right up on the board. The key to that huddle is it's not my meeting. Matter of fact, I try to avoid the meeting at times because the man doesn't need to be in the room. And I don't want my department heads talking a lot either. The frontline people need to put pressure on each other, quite frankly. Talk about motivation. When you know the housekeeper is coming to your house tomorrow to clean, what do you do the night before? You clean, right? So when you have your peers in there saying, hey, maintenance, why haven't you made the money you said you were going to make? Or, hey, reservations, you guys have spent a lot of money. What's going on there? I'm not saying there's fisticuffs breaking out in the room, but it is a curiosity that everyone has. And quite frankly, they all learn how to run a company as they look at the numbers and go, wow, yeah, okay, you're doing that. And that's how you're making that. Oh, okay. I didn't know that we were doing that. And
it's incredible.
They can't go to the grocery store and be asked how's business and not have an answer. That's the thing I always say. You know, if you're come to these meetings, you know how we're doing as a company. Oh man, we're doing so good. We are 15% ahead of last year and our summer looks fantastic and we're hiring new people. Wow, really? Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So
on the flip side, in 2009 and 2010, when the world was ending financially, I remember sharing my budget even back then with my small team and saying, don't tell anybody because we are not doing well. And I do not need you sharing that we lost X amount of money this year, you know? So they're on the inside and I trusted them and they didn't go tell anyone. I mean, it seems so silly to me now. Before we wrap this up though, Tim, I have one question because you are the budget guru. Mm. So let's say you do this budget, right? You guys come up with your income items. You do it by month. You come up with your expense items by month. You see your net income you should have each month and your final, and you share it with the staff. And you go through January and you go through February. And let's say you hit March and you just go, wow, this is really off. Whether my income's way off, way too high, too low, my expenses are over by, I just did it wrong. What should you do?
Well, I think you said it several times in this podcast. If you don't have those systems in place, you don't know until it's too late. But if you have some sort of system in place, like for instance, you said in March, we are way over in this category. I think the key is understanding why and then having a group decision on how we can change things. Hey, folks, if this continues, we're not going to be able to hit these numbers. Anybody got ideas about what we can do differently? And when you involve the team, my experience is that the ship, like an aircraft carrier, won't turn on a dime. But it won't crash on the rocks. You'll turn in time to get back out to sea.
Well, let's just leave it at that, Tim.
Okay. So in summary, we gave you 3 steps. How to create your budget. You just got to do it, folks. Number 2 is run the actuals versus budget every month. Yeah, I'm raising my hand. I didn't do that so much. And then 3rd would be share that information with your staff. And we suggest create some sort of a profit share so everybody wins when you do well.
And footnote, go learn how to use a spreadsheet.
I think I'll go do that now.
I think using a spreadsheet's fun.
It is. It is.
You just pull that little square down and it creates all your answers for you.
So much fun. Yes. Okay. That's it for now. Right. I hope you guys got something out of this. Super job doing the research on this as usual, Sarah. Hope you enjoy the great weather out there in Arizona. We're shivering a little bit here on the East Coast, but I hear that spring is not too far away.
Yeah, you're going to have blossoms in like a month. Chill out.
Yeah.
Back in Steamboat, we have snow. I don't know. I think we've hit 220 inches now already. So it's ridiculous. But wherever you are, Get going on 2024, create your budget, and we would love to hear from you on social media. Just if this has inspired you, if you have questions, if you did a budget and how it's really helped your company, what you think about profit sharing, we'll be asking some thought-provoking questions about that and would love to hear your discussion. Until next time, I'll see you later.
So long, everybody.
Bye, Tim.
What up, Dodge? It's the Snoop DLGG, and I just peeped the Vacation Rental Managers podcast with Sarah and T, hosted by Timmy C. of Outer Banks and Sandwich Gloom, and Sarah B. She owned rental companies in Colorado, and now gives the 411 to other vacation rental companies to thrive and grow. Today's episode was brought to you by Intercoastal Net Designs. ICND is an award-winning web development and digital marketing agency that specializes in helping vacation rental companies get more direct bookings. ICND.net is their website. Special thanks to ICND for hosting Sarah and T's website. Reach to the hosts on Facebook, LinkedIn, or on their website, sarahandt.com. Snoop says lay down a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. Even better, if you're down with this episode, share it with a friend. Sarah and T will be back soon with a new episode of the VRMP. And that's What's Up, Dodge.